Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotner. I'm your host, Bill Howell. And for our second interview this month, we're lucky enough to have Darcy Kniefel of Midnight Sun Brewing Company, their beer ambassador. How you doing, Darcy?
I'm good. How you doing today, Bill?
Great. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it. So what's up these days? Let's talk about Willowaw. You guys have made a big move into downtown Anchorage, right?
We have. We made a partnership with Willowaw Downtown, and basically the idea is when you dine at Willowaw, it's like you're having an experience at the brewery. And so we have a great executive chef in place who's making amazing new food. They just put out their new menu, and they get to do some of the new releases. They just did their first Frickin' Friday, so they get special beers in the form of kegs as well as doing fun stuff like the Frickins. So far, it's going really good.
So for people who might not know where it is,
Willowaw is downtown. If you are familiar with Humpy's, which hopefully everybody listening is, it's right across the street from those guys.
What else have you guys got new? Obviously, Termination Just was just released, right?
Yeah, Termination came out actually a little bit earlier than we thought it would this year. And it looks like it might have been the curse because I don't think we've seen too much snow since then. But we also just announced our Berserker release for 2018. We'll be coming out next week. Then we've got Arctic Devil coming out the day before Thanksgiving. We're also continuing with our limited edition can program. We just released an IPA for the Rage City Roller Girls. Next up in the line, we actually premiere our new Halloween beer, which is called I'm Fine, and it's a blood orange saison.
No, that does sound good. Why don't you tell them what Termination Dust, Berserker, and Arctic Devil are?
You bet. Termination Dust is a Belgian-style barley wine. And we created this one back when we were getting ready to celebrate our 20th anniversary. We really wanted to thank the local Alaskans who have been there to support us through the years. So we did a series that was all very Alaskan-based. And obviously, Termination Dust is when the snow hits the peaks of the mountains. And so we've decided that we'll release the Belgian barley wine every year as soon as our chief of operations and apparently head meteorologist, Lee Ellis, says the Termination Dust is on the mountains. For Berserker, this is probably one of our most well-known beers. It's a huge award winner for us, and it's an imperial stout, and it's brewed with a little bit of molasses and brown sugar, and then we barrel age it. And this year's batch was in some really nice Heaven Hill barrels, so it's come off with just a really great note. Some really nice vanilla in this year's flavor that I keep picking up on, but also some those really nice, you know, chocolatey and rich dark notes in there that make an Imperial Stout truly what it is. And then the last one, the Arctic Devil, is our most award-winning beer, and that's our barley wine. It's an English style, so it's low on the IBUs, but has a really great flavor, also coming from those oak barrels that it's been sitting in for just about 9 months now.
I love them all. Some of our listeners may not have had them, but I recommend if you haven't, you definitely should try them. Another one of my favorites you guys just released, Ko-Ho-Ho, is back again.
Yeah, this is one of my all-time favorites. We originally brewed Ko-Ho-Ho. It's an imperial IPA with a little bit of juniper and honey to it. The idea behind it was, a lot of people don't know, we actually originally brewed Sockeye Red IPA as a house beer for Humpy's way back in 1996. They're about 9 months older than us. So at the time, they were really pushing forward and making the mark in the beer world and wanted to do something completely different. So they came up with a recipe for Sockeye Red. It was for an IPA at the time. It was just a phenomenal success. And it became our flagship beer. And then they asked us for a winter, kind of basically a Christmas version of their beer. And Ko-Ho-Ho came out of that.
Yeah, it's a fantastic beer. And like I said, it's one of my real favorites. That's one of the best things about winter is having Ko-Ho-Ho available.
Absolutely. There's nothing like better than like October 1st is always our Ko-Ho-Ho day. And rain or shine, I am always at the brewery for it.
So what other new developments do you guys have? Any other big changes coming down the road?
We've got a lot of stuff in planning right now. We're definitely looking at putting in some more tank space to make sure that we can keep up with production. This last summer, we released Wolfpack, which is our Pilsner, into cans. And we did 6-packs and 12-packs on that, which obviously was a big, big jump in production over the year before. So we figured out we need just a little bit more room. So we got some new tank space coming in. And we're kind of taking a look now at what we're going to do future-wise as far as our space goes and how we keep making more beer.
And I was just, how are you going to shoehorn more tanks? You don't really have too much room to spare there, do you?
Well,
I'm trying to remember from the last time I was there. It seemed like the brewery's pretty full.
I think it may be time we might have to say goodbye to some of our smaller fermenters and probably dig into some bigger guys up there.
Okay.
The 280 barrels, which are our most recent fermenters, obviously those are full constantly nonstop. So maybe time to look at going big on all of those fermenters back there, getting rid of some of those little guys.
How many limited edition can releases do you figure you're going to do in a typical year?
We're actually shooting for about one a month right now. And I'll be sitting down with Lee, our team of operations, and then Sean Jackson, who's our head brewer. And we'll be discussing kind of the layout for how we want those to go next year. We've been doing about one a month since February, and obviously it's been very popular. This month, we actually have two releases coming out, and we'll actually have two next month as well, just because we're doing collaborations with local groups on them. So it's a great project. It's been a lot of fun. It's a blast for the brewers because they really get to play around and kind of come up with crazy ideas and get things going. And it's great fun for us to always have some new stuff out in the market because that seems to be what more and more people are looking for.
For distribution for those, should we expect to see any of them down here on the peninsula, or is it going to be strictly at the brewery?
What we're looking at right now, actually, our biggest challenge is when we do the production on those, we can only do up to 100 cases at a time. We're kind of cheating the system and we're using our bottle labeler on those cans, which can sometimes become a little problematic. And so we're looking at a new canner as well as a new labeler that will help us to speed up that production and also to make it more efficient. So in the meantime, we're only doing them just straight out of the brewery and in the Anchorage area just because it makes it a high price can. And so we can keep that cost down by taking a smaller cut ourselves. But if they went out through our distributor, it would probably be a lot higher price sitting on the shelf.
Well, I guess our listeners will have to stop by the brewery then and grab some if they want to try these.
Good excuse to come by and try the stuff we have on tap.
Yeah. So do you have any other big events coming up?
We're actually starting to work on our planning processes for AK Beer Week. It's that time of year where I start focusing on all the fun stuff that we get to do for 10 days in January. We're having a lot of fun doing trivia, and then we're actually doing some football programs around town. So we get a chance to go out and actually get really good priced draft beer and watch the game as well.
So anything else?
I would say definitely keep an eye on our Facebook page as things are coming up. I'm getting those events out there. We've got lots of releases coming up, and I know everyone's looking out for especially Arctic Devil and Berserker. So make sure those dates are marked on the calendar.
Well, great. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time for talking with us, Darcy. Really do appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Bill.
All right. This is Bill Howell, Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. We'll be right back with our next segment.
This is Chef Steve Horn inviting you to join me for the reopening of the Blues Cafe on Tuesday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. We are serving up a menu of new blues, old blues, my favorites, your favorites, and music that just makes you feel good. Make your reservations to join me on Tuesdays opposite the borough meetings for Blues Cafe. Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. I'm your host, Bill Howell. In our second feature story today, we're going to talk about the demise of All About Beer magazine. This story is one I could probably have just reported under Beer News section, but I decided it was something that deserved a little more in-depth coverage. It seems that after 39 years of publication, All About Beer magazine has died. Founded in 1979 by Mike and Bunny Bozak, All About Beer was the first magazine devoted solely to beer. It was a strange time in American brewing. Consumption and sales were at their peak, but consolidation had reduced competition and diversity to all-time lows. There were fewer than 100 breweries in the country, and beer culture, such as it was, had become a mass market and homogenized as the beer itself. The early issues of the magazine reflected this situation. Features on imported beer, beer can collecting, or homebrew techniques were interspersed with articles about chili cook-offs, football, barroom lore, and other topics apparently tailored for a male audience. Despite this less than impressive debut, All About Beer had one thing going for it: timing. From the fourth issue, when a small piece announced the arrival of a brewery named Sierra Nevada, it was the leading news source documenting the rise of craft brewing in the U.S. All this was done in an age before the internet, so All About Beer was a go-to resource. On each page, you could learn from the best and the brightest in beers. There were columns by such beer writing luminaries as Fred Eckhart and Michael Jackson, tasting notes from Charlie Papazian, Lisa Morrison, Lou Byerson, Garrett Oliver, and more. I've reported in the past about the challenges facing print beer publications as they struggle to adapt to the new media landscape. In All About Beer's case, however, it seems the problem was more the kind of garden variety financial mismanagement that ends so many businesses. For years, writers have seen checks arrive late or bounce, and other creditors have complained of late payments. This is particularly sad since, as recently as a couple of years ago, the magazine was in the midst of its most impressive period of content. It looked great and had some of the best writers in the business working on excellent, deeply reported stories. The design of the magazine was also rich and interesting. Print subscriptions were on the rise, something unheard of in this online age. The problem wasn't editorial. It came from the business side. Recent moves suggested an owner scrambling to find a way to bring in cash. A little more than a year ago, All About Beer announced it was buying one of its main competitors, Draft Magazine. Subscribers to Draft would start to receive print copies of All About Beer, while Draft would become an online source. That gambit didn't pay off, and Draft has become an affiliate network, which is to say an aggregator site that features content from elsewhere. Following the acquisition of Draft, the print editions of All About Beer became erratic. After a long delay, the magazine sent out two issues in early 2018. Just one more print edition would be published, Volume 39, Issue 1. Subscribers who had renewed their subscriptions were promised refunds that never came, despite promises from the management. Print beer media has had a tough run in recent years. Beer magazine ceased publication. Draft magazine is gone. The celebratory Beer News ceased print publication. Beer Advocate has gone from a monthly to a quarterly format. Social media, blogs, and new media ventures like Good Beer Hunting have replaced magazines and tabloids, which were born during a different media age. But losing All About Beer still hurts. As an institution spanning the entirety of the American craft beer era, it functioned as a reflection of the American beer industry. The late Michael Jackson and Fred Eckhart, writers who helped launch beer journalism, were stalwarts in its pages. All About Beer covered every business story, new style development, personality clash, and all the trends and developments in craft beer since its beginning. In many ways, it was the newspaper of record for the craft brewing industry, and now it's gone. It will be missed. Up next, we'll have our third interview with Clark Pels of Cynosure Brewing Company in Anchorage. This is Bill Howell, drinking on the last frontier on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna.
There's a new show Wednesday nights on KDLL, and the only requirement to be featured on this show is the musician must be dead. Join me, Sal Cassano, your host, each Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. to listen to and learn about dead musicians.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. And for our last interview this month, we're going to be talking to Clark Pels of Cynosure Brewing Company in Anchorage. Hey, Clark, how you doing?
Hello, doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. First off, you've been around the beer business here in Alaska for quite a while, though some of our listeners might not be aware of it. So why don't you give them a little bit of a background and how you got into commercial brewing and what your experience was and why you opened your brewery?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of surprising how fast the years go. Geez, my interest in beer started a long time ago, but I started home brewing up in Fairbanks in the very late 80s, and I was living in a dry cabin up there and brewing there hauling water and learning to clean very efficiently. 90, I moved down to Anchorage after finishing up school at UAF and worked here in town, continued homebrewing. In 96, 97, my girlfriend at the time, wife now, took a year off and traveled in South America. And when we came back, we had to find new jobs. One of our friends was the partner at Moose's Tooth, who was responsible for starting their brewery. So I figured I could help him out for a year or so before going back to my engineering career. A year or two turned into 15, I guess. In 97, I started working for what was then, believe it or not, Denali Brewing Company. Soon after I started working, they changed their name to Moose's Tooth Brewing Company. I started off washing kegs and cleaning tanks and moved into brewing and then eventually ran the brewery for them. And I did that for about 10 years. Then about the time I left, they changed their name to Broken Tooth Brewing Company. So I guess I always kind of associate myself with being a Moose's Tooth Brewing alumni. And let me do some quick math here. That must have been 2012 when I left Moose's Tooth to start this project, Cynosure Brewing Company. I spent some time planning and sort of lining up finances and building out the current location. And just about exactly 2 years ago, last September, I guess, we opened up and have been happily brewing beer here ever since.
Why don't you describe your operation a little bit, size and your layout and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so we're located in Anchorage here, an area that I call Somito, the south of Midtown District. So we're on East Potter, an industrial area on the edge of a residential area. So we get a mix of customers in. And it is a 15-barrel system, relatively small for a brewery. Pretty good size for a small brewery like us. So that kind of gives us a lot of, gives us some capacity for expansion. The heart of the system was constructed in the mid 90s and I purchased it used. It was out of the, it came from the old Railway Brew Pub, Railway Brewing Company, and a brew pub that operated out of the historic train depot here in Anchorage. The equipment kind of got scattered around the state, and I was able to pull much of it together during the planning process for the brewery. The manufacturer of the equipment is Specific Mechanical, and they're a well-regarded company out of Victoria, BC, still in existence. So I worked with them to fill in the missing pieces of equipment. And so we've got a 15-barrel system here.
How are you offering your beers? You're not packaging anything, correct?
Well, our beer is available on draft. Probably half the beer we produce is sold here at the brewery. We have a tap room on premises, small tap room, kind of set up coffee house style, comfortable seating and sort of a quiet place to enjoy people's company while enjoying our beers. I was fortunate enough that my my wife is able to operate the tap room, so that took a lot of responsibility off my plate. So Cindy Drinkwater operates the tap room, and I run the brewery. Right now, all of the beer that we produce, we package in kegs. We work with specialty imports to distribute the other half of our production around Anchorage and throughout the state.
Are you guys doing anything like crowlers or anything like that, or is it strictly growler fills at the brewery?
Yeah, at this time, it's all growler fills. You can bring in your growlers, and we sell 64-ounce growlers with our branding on it. My intention for small package is to start. Well, let's back up a little bit. The type of beer that I'm interested in making is. I want to focus on well-balanced beers that have the characteristic of drinkability. Drinkability is a characteristic of a beer that makes you want to have more of it. The British call that Moorishness. It's the opposite of being heavy on the palate. So easy drinking beers. When I put together the business plan, it didn't seem to make sense to me to do what other local breweries are doing. So I want to find kind of a different angle at which to approach the business. So we're focusing on lager style beers and Belgian style beers. I think that historically, American craft brewers haven't done a particularly good job with lager styles and Belgian style beers. I think because most beers take longer to create, they decrease the efficiency, the capacity of your brewery. And historically, craft brewers have focused on ales, which are a little bit quicker to turn around, and haven't focused on lager styles and Belgian style beers. Now, that certainly has changed with the recent influx of breweries, and there's a lot of great examples of all those styles of beer available now, but I kind of want to focus on those. The Belgian style beers in particular, I think, lend themselves to being packaged in bottles. So here in the near future, we're going to offer our Belgian style beers in bottle conditioned 750 ml bottles, crown capped, available for sale at the tap room. Depending on how well they're received and how well the beers behave in bottles, how consistently we can ensure that the beers come into carbonation condition properly, you know, we might expand those offerings down the road. That's sort of the near term.
How near term are we talking? When you estimate you think you have that available?
It's so near term that I would have expected to be offering the bottled beer now. Certainly within the next year, we'll have bottles available in the tap room for sale to go. Might take a little longer before they're on the shelves around town. First, I want to make sure that we can provide a consistent bottle of beer, you know, for sale at the tap room.
Could you expand a little bit on what specific styles that you're currently offering and are planning to offer in the near future? I know you want to focus on lagers and Belgians, but those are both pretty broad categories. So
yeah.
Do you want to elaborate a little bit what they can expect if they drop by?
Yeah, absolutely. Our flagship beers, or the the three styles of beer that we're working with our distributor, especially imports, that I have committed to making available all the time for them, are two lagers and a Belgian style beer. We offer a dry hopped pale lager called Clouds. We offer a Schwarz beer, a German style beer, a black lager, dark in color, light in body, easy drinking, and a Saison, Belgian style beer, light in color, relatively light in body, a little bit higher in alcohol content, spiced with five different spices, but subtly spiced so that the spices complement the beer flavors rather than mask them. So those three styles we have available all the time. And those are the styles that the beers that you're most likely to see from Cynosure out in the market. Here at the tap room, I try to keep 10 different beers on at all times. So right now we're pouring a second anniversary IPA, which is kind of new for me. That was released last week.
As long as you could, huh?
Well,
I definitely
put it off as long as I could. Yeah. There are so many good examples of IPAs available. I wasn't really sure exactly what we could offer that would contribute to that style of beer. So what we did was this was kind of fun. We played around with English style ingredients to produce a American style IPA. So Maris Otter malt, which is a nice, rich flavored British malt, a little bit of Crystal, which is also kind of malty and palateful type of malt, hopped with UK Challenger, East Kent Golding, and Fuggle hops. East Kent Golding and Fuggle hops are traditional British aroma hops. So using those ingredients, trying to produce a beer that's a little bit more robust than a British IPA might be. So about 6.5% ABV and 64 IBUs. So that's on tap now. Other lager styles that we have on tap, in addition to the Clouds and the Black Lager, we have a Fest beer, which is my interpretation of an Oktoberfest beer brewed with German malts, nice, rich malt flavor to it, while still retaining a clean characteristic, clean and easy on the palate characteristic. We have a, for want of a better descriptor, a classic American Pilsner. So a lighter bodied, sessionable Pilsner brewed with 20% corn in the grist that gives it a nice clarity and a nice pale color and a little bit of corn flavor, but still well balanced with hops, easy drinking. That's it for the lagers. And on the Belgian style of beers, I always try to keep on tap a triple and a double. We have currently are pouring a wit, and we have a rhubarb gosa beer available. So that should round up the 10 slots down in the tap room.
Well, it definitely sounds like quite a eclectic selection you have there. Where do you see yourself in about 5 years?
Good question. I expect to see more of the same, certainly larger volume. 5 years out, we should have certainly the Belgian styles in smaller packages, the 750 mil glass bottles, I would imagine. You know, whether we decide to adopt some sort of packaging for the lager style beers is an open question. Whether we decide to go in the direction of cans at that time is a decision that has yet to be made. Certainly would like to see a little bit of expansion in the brewery space and hopefully some expansion in the taproom space within that time. But, you know, sort of continuing to offer well-balanced, easy-drinking beers of eclectic styles.
Final question, do you have anything that you're getting ready to release in the near future that you want our listeners to know about?
We have, I mentioned the IPA that was recently released, and the Fest was recently released. We have a Grisette, which is packaged and awaiting a tap to open up here in the tap room before we debut it. But Grisette is kind of a little-known Belgian style of beer, sort of like a unspiced wit beer, a little bit lighter in body than lower in alcohol, light body, a beer that exhibits the unique characteristic of the Belgian strain of yeast that we use. So most of the spicy flavor is contributed by the yeast. So that'll be the next one that we release. Other than that, that's the new beer that's in the pipeline right now. Later this week, I hope to plan to brew our winter beer called Noe. It's a Belgian dark strong, spiced with orange peel and Indian coriander, subtly. So that's one that I'm looking forward to brewing. I have the ingredients to do a Dunkelweizen that is sort of waiting for some tank space in which to put it, and I'm looking forward to doing that. That's a German dark wheat beer. We'll use a German strain of wheat beer yeast, which adds a nice clovey characteristic, clovey spiciness to the beer. And I'm sure that we'll do another kettle sour here relatively soon. All these beers take about a month to get them through the system. So the beer lineup changes rather gradually over time because of that.
All those beers sound extremely interesting. I look forward to tasting them.
Well, I'm looking forward to brewing them.
Well, there you go. Well, hey, Clark, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. We really appreciate it. And hopefully our listeners, when they're up in Anchorage, they'll drop by and pay a visit. Just so they know, what are your hours?
Yeah, great. Love to see new folks dropping by. Yeah, say hi to Cindy in the tap room. We're open every day of the week except for Mondays. The tap room, that is open every day of the week except Mondays. During the week, we open up at 3 in the afternoon, and by law, we have to close at 8 p.m. in the evening, so 3 to 8 on weekdays. On Saturday, we open up at 1, close at 8. On Sunday, we open up at 1 and close at 6, so that Cindy and I can get a jump on our day off. And that's our schedule.
Well, great. Once again, thanks for chatting with us, and we'll be looking forward to trying some of those beers when they get out there.
Sounds great, Bill. We look forward to seeing you in the taproom soon.
All righty. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier with Bill Howell here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. We'll be right back to wrap things up.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier.
Well, that about wraps it up for this month's Drinking on the Last Frontier. For our closing beer quote this month, I'd like to pick one from St. Arnold of Metz. St. Arnold lived between 580 and 640 AD and is widely regarded as the patron saint of beer and brewers. St. Arnold said, "From man's sweat and God's love, beer came into the world." On that thought, have a great month. We'll see you in November. This is Bill Howell, Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldatna, saying cheers.
For it might be the worst when your palate feels